Matthew is carefully unfolding the story of Jesus. In the story of his baptism, Jesus accepts his task of ushering in the kingdom of God. Then the story in the desert, temptations, that follows, in which Jesus chooses the method that he will use to proclaim this kingdom. Then comes the great Sermon on the Mount, with which Jesus describes the attitudes, Beatitudes, the attitudes that are going to identify those who live in that kingdom. They're going to be called blessed. After that sermon, Jesus begins his mission of teaching, preaching, healing, and forgiving. And he begins to meet opposition from the authorities, who have a lot to lose with his message. At that point, he chooses helpers to form and prepare, carrying on his task and his mission. The first thing we notice is he sends them out two by two, and notice how the names are paired up. A name and another name. A name and another name. So even in this calling and naming, there is always this sense of pairing. Nobody goes it alone. There's no lone rangers among the disciples. You probably didn't notice it, but there's a change in what he calls them. In the first sentence, he calls them disciples and then he names them apostles. There's a change in the name of who they are. The word apostle only appears two times in Matthew's gospel, and this is the first time that word is used. The first thing we notice about these people is that they are very ordinary. There was about them nothing remarkable, no wealth, no social position. They were simply common people who did ordinary things with no special advantages. They were just like you and me. Yet Jesus looks at them just as he looks at us. Not just at who or what we are, but Jesus looks to see who and what we can become. This is what's happening here. And not just in the gospel, but in this room as well. Under the influence and the power of Jesus Christ, ordinary people will do ordinary things extraordinarily well. So Matthew calls them apostles. If you belong to one holy Catholic and what? Apostolic Church, well then it's you. It's not somebody else. This is the first time, as I said, in the gospel the word apostle is used, and it's only used one more time. Then notice he called them. There's no force, there's no fear, but simply an invitation. They were free to say yes or to say no. Everyone is called. Everyone's invited. Some accept and some refuse. The freedom is always respected. Then after calling them, he appoints them. He gives them a task as the story unfolds. As I said, before they had been disciples. That means they've been learners. Now, what they have learned is going to be switched into action. What they've learned by watching and listening to Jesus, they must now put into practice. They'll preach and they will heal. The two cannot be separated, because the healing is what the preaching is all about. What they do in the healing gives credibility to what they say in the preaching. They are to say what he says and they're to do what he does. You are forgiven. Heal. Cleanse. Lift up the dead is the task. This is full authority. What Jesus did in earlier verses, they are now authorized to do. So no longer are these people spectators, there to watch and just listen to Jesus. They're not eavesdroppers. They are to take nothing for what they do. The ministry is a gift. It must be seen as a gift. They don't compromise themselves or their mission by doing it for any gain or any profit. The kingdom of God is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. It's a gift. Carry no staff, he says to them. This makes these apostles distinct from other travelers. Carrying no staff, taking no luggage. Travel light, he says, to make sure that they never forget who they are and how they are to behave. He tells them, wear no sandals. Slaves do not wear sandals. There's a message there. This instruction makes it clear that they are servants. They put first things first, knowing that God will provide what they need if they're willing to fulfill God's will. My friends, the church teaches that when Jesus speaks, there is no time or place, no history and no future. The word of God proclaimed here is always for the now, for the moment. Jesus speaks now in this gospel just as he did then, because there is no past, nor present, nor future. It's an immediate presence. We're in this church today because we've been called. Think how many others are somewhere else right now, sleeping. If they can find a dry golf course, they might be there, watching TV, working their jobs, or just playing around. Many of them have said no to the invitation, but you know, many of them have never heard it. The word of God proclaimed in this church brings the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, into this place, and he still speaks to us about what we are to do and how we are to do it. We're servants who have received a gift we are to share by doing what he has done. This is no place for spectators. If you're going into communion with Christ in the sacrament of this altar, then you're going into the mission of Christ as Lord of the harvest. The consequences of that are something we're going to hear about next week. But for now, we will have enough to do with simply making sure that we have no sandals, no staff, and have put first things first, ready to forgive, to cleanse, heal, and bring life and joy to those who have no hope and therefore who have no life.